Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That concession speech now due at 2 o'clock. They've been putting it off throughout the day, but if you haven't heard it yet, President Bush has received a call from Senator Kerry, according to the major news organizations, indicating that he will concede in a speech expected now at 2 o'clock, with a speech to follow at 3 o'clock by President Bush. My next guest is Lou Jacobson, deputy editor of Roll Call Magazine, which covers Congress primarily. Lou, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for coming on today.
Hi, thank you.
And we see now the Senate going more into Republican hands, the House going more into Republican hands, and the defeat in his home state of the Senate Minority Leader, Tom Daschle. So my first question to you is, who's in line for Minority Leader?
Well, there have been several names mentioned. The front runner is the number two currently, Harry Reid. He would seem to be the establishment candidate, but if there's a feeling among Democrats that there's a need for a shakeup, there are some other names floating around there. Dick Durbin, Illinois, is one name. Christopher Dodd of Connecticut is another name. I've even heard floated around the name of Senator Clinton as well.
Not John Corzine.
Not a name I've heard. It doesn't mean that that it's not possible, but I have not heard that yet.
What would the pros and cons for the Democratic Party be of Senator Clinton as Minority Leader?
Well, certainly the pros would mean a lot of attention and somebody who would be a major enough figure in the national media to kind of attract folks' attention away from President Bush and to be a sort of almost equal combatant in the policy wars. Big negative is that she has not historically been very popular among her strong liberal Democrat base, and that would be a problem.
And with respect to how you see legislation going now in Congress with a few more seats for the Republicans in the Senate, a few more seats in the House, what's different, really?
Well, I see it as quite different, actually. Before the vote yesterday, the figures in the Senate were 51 GOP, 48 Democratic, and one independent who tended to vote with Democrats. So basically 51-49. Right now, assuming all of these close races go the way we think they are, and I think we're fairly certain of that now, it's going to be 55 on the GOP side, 45 basically on the Democratic side, which is a net gain of 4 for the GOP. So what you had was really a very closely divided chamber where the Democrats could pick off a couple of moderate GOP members for this bill or that bill and really serve as an effective blocking mechanism. Once you add 4 more members to the GOP side, it gets much more difficult. It does not get impossible, but it gets much, much more difficult.
When you get a 10-point spread, that's, I mean, a 10-seat spread, 55-45, right, that's a good number.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's not to the number of 60, for instance, where the party in control can actually cut off debate. It's sort of the way the Senate works. If you have 60 votes, you can really squelch all debate and really move on your own terms. The GOP is not nearly there yet, but it can get to that point much more easier now than it could before because there are a number of conservative Democrats who might not want to be seen as siding with the Democratic Party, given their fairly conservative home states and their need to sort of stay on the good side of voters there.
Who are some of those senators?
Well, certainly we have two of the senators in Arkansas. We have Blanche Lincoln and we have Mark Pryor. We have, trying to roll this off the top of my head, we certainly have...
That's okay. We can come back to this
sure.
if you want. What about the House? How much changed in the House mathematically?
House wasn't as much of a change in that the GOP was really truly in control. Just because of the way the House rules work, a very small lead translates into a lot of power. And so while the GOP, I think we have it... the GOP, there are a couple vacancies because there are a couple races still undecided, but basically the GOP looks like it's going to be gaining a net 4 seats in that chamber, and that's basically the number of seats which the GOP got in the Texas redistricting from last year. So if you set aside Texas redistricting, actually it was pretty much a wash. A couple of Democrats successfully ousted GOP incumbents. One or two GOP challengers did the same to Democrats, and really not too much of a real trend over there. The trend, set such as it is that most of the incumbents, virtually all the incumbents, did win another term if they chose to actually run again. It's a very high rate. It's about 97%, I think, typically. I think it was probably certainly very close to that. So really, I don't see all that much change in the House. It was already a very heavily GOP-controlled body, very conservative, more so than the Senate in some ways, just because many of these members have very safe districts, both Democratic and GOP.
Lou, I have to cut in because we have to take a break, but we'll continue in a minute, and I'll let you finish that thought, and then we'll talk about what the legislative agenda of a second Bush term with a more Republican Congress might be. This is AMA 20 WNYC. This is special coverage on WNYC of the end of election 2004. We are expecting a concession speech from Senator John Kerry at 2 o'clock. He has left his home in Boston. He's in a car right now, heading toward a spot where he's going to make a public statement. We are expecting that right about 2 o'clock. President Bush is expected to make what is almost certainly to be a victory speech at 3 o'clock. And we are going to cover all of this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. My guest for the next few minutes is Lou Jacobson, deputy editor of Roll Call Magazine, which covers Congress primarily. And Lou Jacobson, I wonder what you think the agenda is going to be, the legislative agenda in particular. We have President Bush reelected now. We have the Congress a little bit more in Republican hands, and the Senate a little bit more in the House. What is this going to mean in terms of legislation?
Well, certainly the White House and also Congress as well on the GOP side definitely considers this to be a true mandate. Now, in some ways, I think they are certainly correct. George Bush is the first president to get a 50% plus margin since his father did it in 1988. So that's certainly a significant achievement, and also he certainly at the same time saw Senate and House margins increase for his party. So that's certainly a significant factor. I would throw a little bit of caution here, only because in terms of the popular vote, he did win by about 3 points, percentage points, nationally, which is actually historically fairly small. If you look back all the way back to 1976, that's the sort of first year going back, except for 2000, which was a special case. That's the first year sort of going backwards that you have a margin this small. Typically, it's about 9 points, 8 points, 18 points in some cases. So he will certainly try to turn this into a real, genuine mandate. And I think he certainly seems to be making some kind of rhetorical progress on that so far, but he should know that it is still a deeply divided country. That said, certainly a couple things come to mind that have been talked about for a long time by the GOP and have been frequently stalled, especially in the Senate, where the Democrats have had a fairly strong hand in the past couple of elections cycles. Further tax cutting is going to be on the table. Exactly what form, I'm not sure, but they will certainly seek to make the tax cuts permanent, which they had passed in the past couple of years. They may go further into the social issues realm, such as same-sex marriage. We saw them try to get a constitutional amendment on that a few months ago, failed in the Senate. Now they have different numbers, might well be able to get that passed. And if they do get it passed the Senate and the House, then it would probably be a pretty good bet to pass in the states, just judging by the general voter approval that's out in the states that we've seen, especially 11 ballot initiatives yesterday on this issue, succeeding all fairly handily. Couple other issues, Social Security reform, privatization, exactly what form, it's not clear. Obviously, it will be a very contentious issue, but it's something which the president has talked about that he does want to do. And a couple other things, certainly judges, they have tried and basically been stonewalled by the Democrats for most of the past couple of years on this. Certainly some judges have gone through. Certainly some of the more contentious ones have failed to go through. Now with this added margin, it makes it much easier. And here, again, is something which the president will at least try to claim a mandate on. But certainly you can expect a lot of fairly big fights over this. Then there are a couple other issues which which the GOP has tried to pass in, during the past couple of years, such as tort reform. And also we shouldn't forget some of the things which are going to be up for fixing in the lame duck section session coming up, such as intelligence reform after the 9/11 commission.
By the way, we welcome those of you who have been listening to the Leonard Lopate Show, to this special coverage on WNYC. We are expecting Senator Kerry's concession speech momentarily. He has arrived at Faneuil Hall in Boston, where he will deliver the speech. Senator Edward Kennedy has also just arrived, and there is a crowd there, and Senator Kennedy pumping his fist and raising his thumbs and waving, and I suspect we may be hearing from Ted Kennedy as well as John Kerry in the next few minutes. We will see what happens at Faneuil Hall, but Senator John Kerry expected to officially concede very shortly. Lou Jacobson, before you go, very briefly,
sure.
John Kerry stays in the Senate.
John Kerry does stay in the Senate. It's not unprecedented, I guess, but it certainly will be unusual. I guess the closest model we might have is Senator Lieberman, after he was second in command on the ticket four years ago, certainly has taken up a very high-profile role, and I would expect Senator Kerry to do the same unless he has some sort of bombshell that he's going to step down. I would be
right.
Surprised if he does, but we will see.
All right. Well, it's a very ambitious agenda that you've laid out there that the president and the Republican leaders in Congress have. We'll see what role the Democrats play in all of this going forward into the new Congress. And Lou Jacobson, deputy editor of Roll Call, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.